life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zobiaker.
Hello everyone, this is Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual information show designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling. I always get my words mixed up on that bit. And today we are going to be reading out some listeners' questions, and you can join us with a phone call if you would like to join in. And help us along with a question, metaphysical question that you might have, and we'd love to hear from you. The number is a free phone number in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's
9756.
And international listeners, it's 001-530-876-3222. And it's actually, the show is not a reading style show, but it's anything to do with the spirit world that you might want to ask a metaphysical question to spirit guide Gregory Hay, although we do Akashic readings as well, and you can have a private reading with Gregory if you would like to go to our website on www.spirit-teaching.com and find out more about that. We do have a web page that you can go to, and you can get in touch with me, and I'll let you know anything that you want to know that's not on there.
Absolutely. Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, and this is show number 266, by the way. Now, as well as Spirit's Work, on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com, which is every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, that's 6 p.m. GMT, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST, which is midnight GMT. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, or, as Sylvie said, book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com. And we're also on www.spiritsworkradio.com and also on now www.mickavery.com as well. So anyway, as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, and each week live on the show I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my physical body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through. And I know absolutely nothing about what is to happen or going to happen at this time. It's also that every time that we do this is actually an experiment. But we haven't actually had one fail yet, have we? I don't think, have we?
No.
Not to my knowledge, anyway. Well, anyway, so when I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back when the spirit communicator leaves. Pretty good job, really, because there's not a lot going on in my brain anyway. Now, I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was that they took me either, and I'm not supposed to know, because then I would kind of, like, track my mind and interfere with it, because that's the way human beings are. So without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, and she's going to take over the whole of the rest of the show, and do have a great time with this program. Thanks very much. Bye.
Yes, Gregory, Spirit Guide Gregory, is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. And they consist of many great minds along with ordinary people. And between them all, they have access to vast knowledge and insights. They've come to bring their teachings because of the need for us to have a deeper understanding that's beyond the constraint of our human minds. Subject matter we cover is absolutely limitless, really, and only down to our questioning, because if we have the questions, then somebody in the spirit world, in this case the White Cloud Group, will get the answers for us. And if they can't get them at the time, then they will research this and we can do the question another week when they do have the answer. But anyway, all of these situations are help you, you know, is to help you become more knowledgeable and better informed as to your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death, so that you can make the most of your life now and also have an easier transition, I have to say, when you go to the spirit world. And, you know, I'm forever getting reassured that this is a good thing because of finding out about the situations that happen to people when they get to the spirit world. So really, believe me, the more you can understand about your thoughts, your mind and your vibration, your energy, basically, then the better it will be for you when you get to the spirit world, which is home after all. So I do believe Gregory's with us now.
With love and light and peace be upon your journey, my dear friend, little bird. Hello.
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 Well, we've got some questions from a listener in the UK, Dave.
Yes.
We did some of his last week. We also have some other ones from other people, but I'm just trying to do a few of each for now. And then this is also actually, everybody, this is something that you can do if you don't want to phone in your question, then you can email me at enq@spirit-teaching.com your questions, and I will put them to Gregory on a show. Or if you want us to do a show about a specific subject, then you can let me know which one that is and the things that you want to know about that, and we can do that too. Okay. Did you want to speak about something in particular?
No.
We'll go straight into the questions then.
Yes,
okay.
Quite so.
All right. Well, actually, I was just talking about how it's invaluable that you learn all you can about your energy and about how you... what makes you tick, and the partnership between you and your spirit.
Yes.
When you are on the earth plane. So this first question I have from Dave is, he says, when you have passed to the spirit world and arrive in the reception chamber, are you able to hug loved ones or those who meet you?
Well, my dear friend, the answer is simply yes. If it's appropriate. Now, so when you say hug, that intonates, of course, that you readily accept that you have a physical body presence or some kind of body presence that is etheric. So that means to say there has to be a mechanism that you understand that creates that situation. After all, the ether world is non-physical, so say, and yet we can see one another at times, depending upon our state or vibration. So it may well be, then, that for some individuals that you wish to meet, perhaps they will be there at your passing. It may also be, dear friend, that in such situations of different circumstance, we have to understand that not all beings of the physical life journey necessarily have good or had good relationships with either parents or other siblings, or maybe even uncles, aunts, grandparents, or some other relationship. So you could say, well, what about those people and those situations? No one is going to attest to anything. It would not be in the spirit interest for you, when you had first passed to our side of life, to be confronted by someone, shall we say, who had harmed you or who had created a negativity in some way. And that doesn't mean to say we're not talking here about a parent scolding you for something, or a grandmother, grandfather, or some such thing as that. We're talking really about abuse or some other kind of physicality or mentality which had been arranged against you either for some time or even as a one-off situation. It may well be then that you as a physical being at this present time are actually not really looking forward to your time in the spirit world at all, if it means that you're automatically confronted with such a relationship, such a difficulty, which maybe you might not have accommodated all the way through your physical life journey. And that's not to say that it's, well, it's time's up and you've got to accommodate it now. It will always be that if you were the person who were disfigured or who were mentally abused or some other way abused by a loved one from your ancestral hierarchy now in the spirit world, they are not going to actually make any kind of approach to you until it becomes that you can accept them.
Well, that would be a so-called loved one then, wouldn't it? It wouldn't.
Well, yes, be quite so. One. I use yes. the term loosely, yeah, but I'm saying as ancestral memory.
Yes.
I hope you understand.
Absolutely.
That. So, and I hope that explains everything. If I've left anything out, please say.
Yes. Well, he did say, "Are you able to hug a loved one?" I mean, it's probably this again is down to the learning and the seeking, isn't it, about what does happen after the physical life has ended. Because if you've got fixed ideas of who you are and where you're going and all of the rest of it, and that you're not going to be able to do that, then this connection is going, presumably takes a longer time to arrange, things like that, hugging a loved one and et cetera.
Yes, that's quite true to a point, although it may well be that, for example, that loving parents perhaps may well show themselves in order perhaps to gain a response or to try to help you as a physical now spirit being over the hurdle perhaps that you through your physical life and consciousness had created some obstacle or block to your progression. It may well be, of course, that it's not something that's tenable within your conscious mind at all. Maybe, perhaps, as a Buddhist, you would think that your parents, neither of your parents, should be there and you shouldn't be meeting them in any event. Because, of course, as a Buddhist, you would have expected both of your parents to have reincarnated before the 45th day of their time in the spirit world.
Well, that changes by whoever you talk to as well, really, doesn't it? Well,
yes, I'm saying also, really, if you were a purist, which is part of the reason why Buddhists would not accept interaction with spirit world.
Yes, but that must go with people that believe in reincarnation.
Quite so. Absolutely so.
So how do they feel that they're going to see their parents then if they expect them to be somewhere else?
Yes,
they've come back.
Quite so.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I understand.
Family, etc.
Yes, yes.
They can't have one without the other.
Ah, well,
you can't believe in one and then not accept that the other one is.
Yes,
not insane.
I understand that. But then it's probably a matter of choice, dear friend, as to whether a person who believes in the state of reincarnation would then say, oh, well, my parents became ascended, so that, or they decided that they would wait until I've had my physical life
and then
go and have their next life after that, you see.
Okay, I'm just sort of covering all eventualities here.
Absolutely
So, and don't forget, if you would like to phone us and join in, you can. It's a free phone number in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. And I'm not sure about the Canadian one because I'm tip-ex over the top of it. I'm just so professional. Okay, and international callers, come along. It's only 6 o'clock in the evening and the number is 001-530-876-3222, but that's not free, that last one.
It's just a few groats after all.
A few groats. But is that what it was in your life?
Yes.
Lifetime.
Yes.
Groats. How many groats to a whatever was there then?
Well, it would have been groats to a penny.
Groats to a penny.
Yes.
Okay.
A penny was quite a lot in my time.
Mm.
Actually, I jest, really. Groats were really being phased out at my time of life.
Mm.
As a child, they were figurative, but really, by the time I had reached 8 or 9, they had all but played out.
And then what was in their place? Pennies.
Oh, pennies, halfpennies, farthings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But didn't you do the barter system as well?
Yes. Really, we didn't actually, my father and I, we did not actually use coinage, as it were. We would, for example, if we went to the lion, the red lion, of an evening, we would take 2 chickens. And it would be one for the pot and one for our ale.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Okay. Well, thank you for that. Okay, here's another question.
We were simple souls, friend.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we need to get back to that. Not quite that.
You may well have to, friend.
Yeah, not quite that, but, you know.
Yes, quite so.
More simple life.
Yes.
Okay. Here's another one from Dave in the UK. I noticed when observing the spirit of a child on my landing one night that he appeared grey and still, with his arms by his side. Can you please explain why he lacked... I'm sorry. Can you please explain...
Would you like to explain why you are laughing so much, friend?
Yes. Because, she's like, no, I'm going to have one of those laughing fits. Okay, so before the show, I looked at this question, and I read it as being that the child appeared grey and still with his arms by his side. And I was thinking that I'd missed something, you know. It's like, well, hang on, the children are supposed to have their arms by their side for only a certain length of time when they pass in the spirit world. Okay, so then I put a comma in it. It didn't take me long, really.
No.
So, yes, he was on his landing one night and appeared grey and still with his arms by his side. Can you please explain why he lacked colour and was not animated?
Yes, quite so. The reason why the child was not animated was because it was an image. It may not have been that the child himself was present where the image had illuminated. It is probably that the child's image was sent as a form of a matrix, in a sense. Now, what can happen sometimes is that it may not be, I'm not saying that this was the case for you, but sometimes some images that people see are actually images in their mind because they are seeing them psychically. So that means then that the child or being would not normally be in that kind of state, although maybe just for purpose of brief recognition and then vanish again. The situation that you encountered on your landing was that you saw the child as it appeared, but that in actual fact, the child itself was standing next to you. The reason for this was because the child created a proxy image. Proxy images are usually colourless or have only a certain degree of imagery. That's simply because it takes a lot less energy to create a black and white image than a colour one. In much the same way as if you refer to times when you had a black and white television set vis-a-vis a colour television set, the fact that it took a lot less energy to create one upon the other and was a completely different system. So in many respects, friend, what tends to happen is that a grey image, if you see it, that does not respond to your waving or questioning or even that your presence is there and simply does not acknowledge that presence whatsoever, means that it's either a proxy image, that means sent by the spirit from some other situation or some other time field, or maybe would have been construed as being some kind of image which was attached to the physical fabric of the dwelling itself. I know that's not the case in your event, because there was no situation of apparatus which was left there at the time, unless it were that such an event would repeat itself on a historically based factual basis, which means that it could have been, for example, the reason why you would see a certain situation indication of a, so say, spirit walking through a place that appears to be from one place to another, and it's like an automaton. It's like not a proxy image, but in fact a recordable black and white image, usually, or slightly blue and white, which has been left within the fabric of the building, or place, or actual physical place upon the earth plane.
So you would call that a ghost?
I would call that a ghost image. A proxy image is not, because the spirit of the child was actually standing next to you.
Right, okay. Okay, so the sent by the spirit from another time field. The proxy image is sent by the spirit.
Yes.
By
maybe
child.
From another time field, may not be.
Okay.
This child, in fact, was standing beside you. So it means that the proxy image was most probably sent because the child was not able to respond in kind to bring him or herself to the situation.
Right.
So this little one at this time simply sent a proxy image so that you would see in your train of vision.
Okay.
Why? Simply because perhaps he may have wanted to try something out. To try out whether this would work or not. Well, oftentimes, those in the spirit world will try out certain things with those on your side of life, particularly if they are already spiritually motivated. These proxy-serving images, in a sense, enable those on our side of life sometimes to manifest something from their own energy, even if it's just a purely still image and not animated.
Yes, I mean, that would presumably... The effort, I mean, that takes quite a lot of effort to do just that, presumably.
Yes, and it's actually part of the reason why oftentimes it will be that spirit will manifest an orb rather than a complete image or even a partial image.
Mm.
It's much, much easier to manifest an orb.
Mm.
After all, it's only 2 or 3 inches in diameter at most.
Mm.
So it's far easier to just magnify that with the face within it. Or just simply as a plasmic ball of energy.
Well, I'd be very interested for Dave to keep us up to speed with this, just to see if this child does it again, and if anything else happens, or if it moves or anything.
Yes, quite so.
Yeah. So,
or if, in fact, the manifestation of the child, that the child actually manages to accommodate it.
Yes.
It's really, though, I have to say, oftentimes these kinds of things occur simply because those in the spirit world, particularly if it's someone who has been there for some time on our side of life, that they will actually find it quite difficult to perhaps manifest something in the physical timeline purely and simply because of the difficulty of vibration and the memory of it in order to bring it about in some kind of clear manifestation.
Mm. Yes.
Because it's only within a certain vibration index.
Mm. And presumably, if Dave has lived in this house for a while, I would think he would have seen this repetitive image, if it was a ghost image, before.
Yes, and certainly, absolutely certainly, friend, it would have been at a certain time of the month or year or some other such thing. Or perhaps a certain time of day would otherwise logically be the pursuit of it.
Mm.
And that's simply because of an interactive state from some other ghost effect situation which was buried within somehow within the fabric of the building.
Hmm. Well, that's really interesting. That's really interesting. Thank you. Okay, here's one. Slight change, of course. I have read that the influence of ETs on our business leaders and politicians are starting to lessen as the vibration of the Earth changes. And in fact, their negative influence will cease over the next 10 years. Can you shed some light on this, please, and perhaps give some insight into the purpose of the massive ET ship that is parked in our solar system?
Well, to begin with, my dear friend, to do with the ET relationship, that is simply other species relationship with certain world leaders or peoples of a certain kind of hierarchy. Now, purposefully, my dear friend, you have to say that, you have to understand that some of this is mere fabric or speculation. It's not all that way focused at this present time. There are most certainly certain interactions from Greys and others with certain people identified on your side of life, most being in positions or situations of power. These are actually because of certain institutions and creations that those on your side of life of the scientific background are still trying to pursue various relative situations. Particularly, I have to say, to do with some of the previous, experiments which had taken place on your side of life and that have then apparently come full circle and been addressed as some kind of use of energy which is very destructive. So these energy-like structures are really, in a sense, partly to do with some of the work that these various relationships, through these various relationships and as they have been established, that they appear to become much more arranged against possible other foes, possibly actually those of friendly state to do with extraterrestrial life, or in fact even your good selves. So this is a matter of which I have to be very careful. This whole system, in a sense, is partly due to the fact of this divisional understanding, whereby many in the seat of power and certain forms of understanding feel that it is their right to overcome the grand populace of your side of life in order then to arrange for the summary annihilation of a part of it, in order that the Earth can then still survive and that others will be more than comfortably off and more than comfortably placed to carry on with their lives and their genetics to be higher in the pecking order. It almost appears to be that for some this can be the only way out for humankind, as it appears on the precipice of disaster with the mass extinction and annihilation of so many thousands of species on your side of life from the present state of using energy and creating these user frameworks. Such devices as, for example, those energy particulates whereby energy is able to be transmitted via radio waves to the specific frequency of a person or species, matching their vibration index in order to annihilate them.
That's human beings.
That is true.
That's not, you know, I mean, and this is it. That's the sort of thing that science fiction magazines and films were made of, or are made of.
But it's a fact.
Talking about extraterrestrials, but this is human beings doing this.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. That's quite true. Yes, mm. It's
and
actually
it's
human beings.
And it's factual.
And it's factual, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, quite so, because it's actually, my dear friend, part of the work that Nikola Tesla, in his wonderful prismatic way that he would continue within his work now on our side of life, that in actual fact he was very much afraid of, because once he had understood that his radio waves would actually be used and could be used for the actual maneuverability of energy from one place to another. So we're talking about how it would be possible to utilize the sending and receiving of energy itself, electrical energy, by the use of wireless or radio waves, means quite simply that it's only one more step to finding an ability to actually send a specific vibration to take someone's life. And that is manifestly created now at present and can be reached for a total of 5 miles.
Okay, yes.
And that is the extent to it at this present time. I am sure it will not take very long on your side of life to be able to reach much further than that.
Okay. So...
So I cannot really, I dare not say any more than that, purely and simply because I would not wish to arrange any further problem to your good self.
Yes. So, yeah, bearing in mind that this show is all about, and the whole station, actually, isn't it? It's all about freedom of speech and interaction.
I am well aware of that. Really.
Power in numbers and giving everybody a voice. But, yes.
Yes.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, so...
And so I do not wish to talk about the other aspect to this.
No.
Because it is still a matter of observance that, in point of fact, this is part of the situation that is present at this time. So, yes, my dear friend, you are quite right. These negative energies are presently illuminated, and it appears to be that, thank goodness, they're not raptors.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we would not be talking now if they were. So... Part of this, you have to understand, is that within this given aspect, at least you are still communicating. And at the point at which you find that there becomes silence and that you are no longer able to command this form of technology, purely and simply because of some other kind of device which has been utilized in order to
silence
it, you will then understand what is about to take place. That doesn't mean to say that it's then directed particularly at you,
no.
But it may well be a whole planetary situation that happens, first of all, so that this is brought about to however it is
disable.
Felt that they can disable. Yes.
The rest of the country.
Yes, quite so.
World.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I mean, a lot of countries have already, they've been impeded with, in various ways, haven't they? With,
yes.
You know, not having certain computer technology that we have.
Yes, quite so. But that's also a part of the inherent situation of blocking of technology from one system of reactivity, of political reactivity over another.
Big brother.
Yes, quite so. And that's really very much to do with the whole system of change, to do with and a great fear, really, that's created around socialism, I suppose. But in many respects, the part of the, I suppose, what America has to realize is that they're actually relying completely at this present time on socialism to actually get them out of the hole that they're in. inasmuch as the whole of China is at present being the banker for America and for much of the rest of the world.
Hmm. Yeah.
So even if many people in America or wherever dislike those who are communist, that's one train of thought, they have to simply be there and just allow it to happen, because they have already burnt much of their own resource and their own technology and allowed these other situations to develop and actually overtake them.
Hmm. Well, yes.
I'm not saying that they should have made them stop or done something negative in order to stop them.
Yes, no, the UK is the same, as is Europe and many other places.
But because of greed, not, basically.
Yes. Well, yes, but it's not. It's the people at the top of the tree that make the decisions that have done it. It's not the everyday person.
That is very true.
We've just gone along with it, haven't we?
Yes, that is very true.
And yes, obviously people want as much as they can get for as little as they can get, and there lies the rub, really, because that's like it's almost like being addicted to something, isn't it, really? It's like as long as you can dangle that in front of somebody.
Yes, that's right. Even if, in fact, in the long term, it doesn't actually bring any benefits, much like, of course, the oil in Sierra Leone or wherever it is, perhaps some African country or whatever. All of those people in that population had expected that the oil companies, Esso or Shell or whoever it is, what does it matter? It's just a name. But their behaviour is what really matters. The pollution that is left, the pollution even on American soil of uranium left in the Badlands, over 1,100 wells and other workings just left wide open, so that all of that uranium is able to leach out into the atmosphere, the water table, and everything else. And still not covered, still allowed to percolate, still taking people's lives, children disfigured and deformed.
Hmm. Okay, I have a question here. Thank you. From Sarah.
Yes. Dear little O.
And she was talking about Planet X. Nibra, Planet X, the rogue planet through the solar system. What are the true implications about our crossing of paths?
Well, my dear friend, it hasn't happened yet. And a rogue planet is not really present. What you are seeing is another planet within the solar system which has a different optimal course. And there is a great deal of fear about this. 'Tis unfounded, is not something which is within the true escapement of the actual star, the binary star system, as it exists. The single star system as it exists is not, in fact, something else. It's not some configuration of different planets, some of which are out of the spec of your understanding or vibration, and then suddenly emerge. There is not some hidden star or hidden planets. All of those which are present are known. And it may well be that even within the planetary trajectory of each situation, of each individual within that system, there is not a given route for this to become an annihilating factor. You're not going to see a repeat of the collision of the original collision, of which the moon is a remnant. That is simply a one-time solution, a one-time situation, and in many respects, friend, simply because it happened, simply because it took place, means that life was possible upon the physical Earth. If it hadn't have been, you may just have continued to have been amoeba.
Well, we wouldn't have had a physical life on this planet, would we? We would have either stayed in the spirit world, and like you said, you don't need to have a physical life.
Yes, that's right.
To become, I won't use the word, the A word. Okay, I will. Ascended.
Because you're ascended anyway. It's only the consciousness that has to get back on track with your spirit that leads you to the knowing state of being.
Mm. Yes, but we could, I mean, the thing is, we would have, and many have, had other existences on other worlds.
Yes,
so
absolutely so.
If this wasn't available, it would have been something else.
And then you wouldn't have been a human being anyway. You might have been an insect, or an eight-legged, or a 26-legged being. You might have been some other thing, creature. What then? And had a perfectly fine time of it, perhaps even dwelling on the planet for thousands and thousands of years.
Okay, so if you are, if you do that, as a spirit, having that experience to be this other being.
Yes.
And then when you stay, when you go back to the spirit world, how do you, so do you stay
as that being,
or do you change?
You may stay as that being for thousands or millions of years.
And can you change to look like something else that's not sort of in your genetic makeup, if you know what I mean?
Yes, that's possible.
Eventually.
That's possible in exactly the same way, my dear Finn, as those of human registry as was when they had a physical life, their spirit may well return to our side of life, and perhaps after so many years or hundreds of years or even thousands of years, they decide that their love is good enough, or that they wish for their love to be good enough for them to themselves to be beautiful and to be giving and in service to others, that love is in a sense reciprocated by some other being allowing them to borrow their clothes, their garments, their garb of physical life. Not to have a physical life, but to have a representation of it. So that, for example, if you were a being, as you were in the spirit world, and before you had a physical situation, that you tried on the state of a horse.
Yes, that's understandable.
And then that's part of the situation that came with you when you had a physical life. It's part of the reason why you gazed adoringly out of the window when you were at school, purely and simply thinking about horses and nothing else.
Mm.
Because it came with you. And that's part of your experience. That's not a genetic situation. It's actual and factual.
So
that can be then that if you were a pure, beautiful spirit, but you were from some other planet and you had some weird or extremely different form of life, that perhaps you were not oxygen breathing, but breathed some other liquid or gas or whatever and lived in some other completely different and yet hostile environment as far as human beings are concerned, and thought in a completely different operative way. That doesn't mean to say your spirit was any less, or that the situation of your spirit was incumbent by some other situation of your mind retention or intelligence. Or perhaps you were a really, really beautiful being, but as ugly as a twisted root. How can anyone in the physical side of life, or vis-a-vis human beings, judge simply by the manner of its observation or its collection of cells or how it's been put together? Are you going to say that an aardvark or some other pygmy shrew or some other being that to some people looks quite unpalatable, that their consciousness may be as beautiful a light as any other being? And most probably is. I do not signal it out as being something abhorrent. Absolutely not.
So, if you were, are there different beings in the same soul group? You know, like, because you said that there are So humans and these other races that were,
yes.
shall we say, that looked different,
yes.
could be all in the same soul group as yours.
Yes, absolutely, quite possible, yes.
Mm.
Yes, that human beings don't keep themselves to themselves unless they're limited by their consciousness, by the situation of their stroke of life, whatever they had done of it. Now, I myself, for example, a simple soul though I was, didn't mean to say that I was, that my literacy came with me to the spirit world. It did for a little while, but only up to the point at which I immersed myself in the heady world of the halls of learning. And at that point, I became understanding. Yes, it was a little odd at times and quite thought-provoking at others, but I took on myself that all of these different beings that I was observing were beautiful and loving beings. They were not there to create harm upon me. They weren't beings from hell or any such place. They did not have negative designs upon me or desires. So why would I fear them? And there was no negative energy coming from any of them either. And that's exactly the same as talking to spiders or plants or whoever it is, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. I'm only referring to other objects or other animations of the Earth physical world so that you understand the properties.
I think it's a far better way of learning, going to the halls of learning. I know we've talked about this before. Some listeners might not have heard those shows, though,
yes.
where you can actually see things in visually
yes.
as well. You can, I mean, absolutely anything. You can read books. You can have books animated to you.
Yes.
There's absolutely just... what other sorts of ways are there of learning, apart from just the boring way of reading like we do here?
Well, but it's not necessarily, because a book doesn't necessarily mean that it takes or contains words. It may be structural language of a form that you have to decipher, or it may well be set in a kind of a language which is actually audio, or that's a language that actually speaks in your consciousness and isn't anything to do with the fabric of sound at all, but is actually transmitted via the book itself, simply by picking it up, that you don't actually even have to sometimes even open the book. But simply by touching it means that all of that information comes straight to you, to your consciousness, like plugging yourself in, I suppose, is the closest that I could think of that you could orientate it for your own life and experience. You see, so you may well have a situation where, as I have said before, you want to perhaps learn to play a musical instrument. Rather than it being someone actually having to go through the whole procedure of teaching you the instrument does it itself. It becomes animated. And it's in real time, so that it means that you can actually respond to it, and it will respond to you. So you would have a flute that teaches you how to blow it, how to blow itself. Yes?
Mm.
You may well have some other instrument that you pluck, or that you hit, perhaps by way of your arms, fingers, yes, and they're animated, so long as your consciousness from your physical life journey has allowed it to be. So what did you do then as a spirit being before you ever had a physical life of arms and legs and physical human body? What then? The thought parameters were somewhat different, because to begin with, your spirit form was not agitated or closed in and therefore decelerated by the physical consciousness that had been present during physical life. So it means that the animation of thought is completely different. The coherence is on a different level altogether. That's why it is that when people say that they want to come back and have more and more physical lives to become enlightened, they are simply not understanding anything whatsoever to do with the spirit world or the fabric of it. I don't know where they've been, but they haven't been to where we are.
Hmm.
Because the spirit consciousness doesn't have to go through that. The spirit consciousness is as pure and as a part of God itself, means that all creation can be there and is there. That the illumination of information and knowledge and wisdom is freely flowing. It is only the retrospective animation of physical consciousness that stops it.
Mm. Yes, it's a bit like I said at the beginning of the program about the questions that can be answered is really only limited by the questions that you can think of.
And yes.
It's the same in the spirit world then, you know, if you want to learn something, you have to know though that you can learn something, I guess, and then
yes.
It's an ongoing process, isn't it?
Yes, otherwise what tends to happen is that we have the history of millions of years of human beings who are still stubborn and still stuck where they were, simply because they cannot abide the thought of moving forward or cannot access the acceleration of their consciousness. It's not because we haven't tried to help them to do that. It's simply that they haven't wanted to. Through fear, through their own perception, their own triggers, which have, in a sense, become closed and fixated.
Instead of going to a different world to have an existence on a different world. I mean, I have to say, after this one, I'm thinking I might give that a miss for a while.
Yes, most people do, friend. They don't actually go off that quickly.
No, too risky. No.
Yes, it takes quite a long time to recover from the human physical life experience.
Yeah, absolutely. But can you, like, say, for instance, in the halls of learning, if you are really still interested about other worlds, in different dimensions,
yes.
Different planets,
yes, yes.
Different universe,
yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
Can you go and, from the halls of learning, look, study that race, that place, in some way or other?
Yes, it is possible.
A catalogue of, is there some history?
Yes, it is possible. However, you do have to be of a specific vibration to gain access to it. It's not freely given information because you have to be of a certain kind of vibration in order to gain that kind of access. In a sense, it's a bit like saying that you have restrictions on certain people. It's because all beings have to accelerate the love within themselves in order for them to reach those goals or to reach those understandings. Means that they have to do a lot of work on themselves and also on behalf of other beings, being in service, for example.
Mm.
Which is oftentimes why it is that you have many from our side of life who are actually in service to others on your side of life as guides, helpers, whatever. And yes, they may manifest themselves in this or that garb, however it is, perhaps as a relic of their own consciousness, maybe something that's been borrowed.
And also there's people sometimes that you've given Akashic readings to have been guides in before
yes.
they had this physical life.
Yes, that's right.
I think people find that hard to understand, well, it's hard to believe because we don't know anything and we feel so insignificant and so lost, and maybe that's even why we're having reading in the first place.
Yes.
That to even hear that is very strange.
But sometimes also it fires off triggers of knowledge that are buried deep within a self, and that perhaps that person may well have access to that.
Yes, yeah. I mean, some people it's like, oh, yes, that makes sense.
Because I have these experiences, and then that's why they
have. Or it just hits a spot within them, and
yes,
they
yes.
think, yes, that's an inner knowing.
Yes,
they don't
yes.
know why, how they know that, but they know that to be true.
Yes,
other
that's
people
quite right.
find that incredulous. But basically, when you're ready to do specific things, it's your energy and your, shall we say, your motivation. It's It's your energy that actually proves that you can do this. Like,
yes, that's right. Your giving energy.
Yeah, that enables you access to many things.
Yes, so, it is.
So it's not really in the asking. It's in the being, what you are.
And that's part of the reason, quite right. Mm. And that's part of the reason why it is that those people who have the gratification of selfish actions and selfish account of themselves actually have such a long way to go.
Mm.
Because they have to learn to give of themselves and not be selfish. A selfish action or activity, such as happening at this present time upon physical earth, of many, many different people in many different walks of life, are simple signatories of what and how to actually deface the earth itself, and also one's own character, one's own determination as to how they're going to be and have access to then future understanding and future information and wisdom and knowledge coming to them from our side of life. Mm. They simply won't have access to it because of their selfish state.
Mm. Preparation is very important in many ways.
Yes, it is, my dear friend. So I'm going to leave you now at this time, then.
Thank you.
With love and light, blessings be upon your pathways, my dears. Everyone, be guarded, be gifted, be loving, and be beautiful. God bless.
Thank you, Gregory. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Our website again is www.spirit-teaching.com, and I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focus on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.